Now, the last time we were here, and the team that came from here would have seen us in the north. This is our third location now that we've moved to. And to be honest, we were not looking for this move. The 20 years in Haiti, what we went, we're still doing the same things. And it was Ephesians 4:12. We want to equip his people for works of service, to build up the body of Christ. And for us, that looks like medical, because I'm a family practice doctor, agricultural, and spiritual education to help the Haitian Christians reach their own people. Because they don't have educational barriers, language barriers, they don't have any of that. So when it's a Haitian talking to a Haitian about the freedom found in the grace of Jesus Christ, all the fear and the bondage just melts away. And so that's what we've been doing, and we were still doing that. And those of you who know us know that we've worked for 6 years to get our adoption complete. And a step that should have taken 2 weeks to 2 months took us 2 years. And so in the last few years, we were just waiting for Fritzlin to be able to come home. So you couldn't have teams planned. We couldn't come out and talk to churches because it was literally any day we might get the word that Fritzlin could come home. So we were in this kind of just status place, doing what we normally did in the north. We had the programs were going. The kids' club and the adult literacy and all that. And then 2 years ago in October, the hurricane hit the southern peninsula. So Corey and I went and did two trips. We did a scouting trip, and then we went and did relief. And we were planning a third trip, and travel in Haiti can be pretty tough. So we went and did meetings with the rest of the Global Partners team, and they had purchased some land. The gentleman in the middle here was our national superintendent, and he asked Corey to come and say, what can we plant in this land to make a profit? Because in Haiti, most pastors have to work two or three jobs just to keep their kids in school and to put food on the table. And we're very excited. Next Saturday, Pastor Wendell is getting married, and he and his wife are preparing to go to Africa, to a Muslim area that speaks French. That will be our first Haitian missionaries to go overseas. But how do you support missionaries when you're already working two to three jobs? So what they wanted this land to do is to make a profit so they can turn it back into their own churches and to support their own missionaries. So they asked Corey. So we went with Pastor and another pastor, and we started on this journey. And they had told us it was 2 hours after the pavement ended. And so we're driving along the road, and I got this little thought. And I grew up in Allegan. I'm Dutch by heritage. I could live in the mountains. I could do this, and, you know, pretty flat. And we went a while longer, and we're getting closer to the two-hour mark, and Corey says to them, where are we going? Because he hadn't seen anything that looked like agricultural land, and we were getting close. And they said, well, you see that ridge over there with those clouds? If that cloud wasn't there, that's where we're going. And Corey's like, oh. So we went, and we had gotten a late start. We had mechanical issues, and it was the day before presidential elections, which is a curfew night, and we got up there under the clouds, and there's a young independent missionaries that live up there, and we met with them, and we just kind of followed them and the Haitian staff and pastors and walked around the land. And this is their place. Their ministry up there, they have a children's home with 14 children they're caring for. But their things were agricultural, medical, and pastoral. Who does that sound like? And we heard about the hurricane had gone through the month prior, but they had a clinic for 600 kids with protein malnourishment, which is not something I've seen a ton of in Haiti, because they only feed their kids corn, and that's not a complete diet. And we heard about people walking 6 hours for medical care, and pastors who started walking at the base of the mountain at 4 a.m., to get to the top for a day of training for them. And I just listened to all this, and I walked around, and then the pastors had to say their goodbyes, and I kind of went up to Corey, and some of you know Corey, he's our quiet one, and I kind of held his hand, and I said, could you see us living up here? And he was really focused on the drive back down the mountain, and he said, our truck is not making this trip anytime soon. Because it was only 16 miles, and on a good day, without a load in the truck, in the sunshine, you could make that 16 miles in 2 hours. But this is at night, in the clouds, you know, first time up the mountain, and he was just focused on getting us down safely. Well, then the pastors get in the truck and they say, we have to talk about this. This is a good project. We have to talk about this tonight. And I said, dear Lord, we can't talk about it because Corey doesn't know we're moving. And the Lord worked it out that we did not talk about it that night. But before we got to where we were sleeping that night, Corey knew we were moving. And we really had no prompting. We were happy where we were. But looking behind us, we could see how the Lord had prepared us to be ready to move when he did. So then we started to talking. In 2 weeks, we had approval to move. Now, there's no house. There's no places to rent on the top of the mountain. This is the neighbors. And so we were literally talking. When they built their house, they're very young. They lived in a tent. And we did that after the earthquake for a couple weeks, and there was no way we wanted to sleep in a tent and build a house. Because remember, medical plant, we're not builders either. And so we talked about bringing a half container up and camping. We talked about making a shed, and we got this phone call from this couple. And they said, we have a medical issue, and we have to go to the States. Would you mind staying in our house? One requirement is to keep the rats and the mice out and give some logistics. There were three teachers, two American teachers and a Haitian teacher at that time teaching the kids. Could you give them logistical support? The one teacher from California didn't speak any Creole. And we're like, oh, that looks a lot better than a shed, Lord. Thank you so much. And then our little truck in the back there, we had been up the mountain a couple times at this point, and we knew that it was going to kill our little truck. Already, if we hit big bumps, you know, you hit your head on the top. And on a trip to see Fritzlin, we said, okay, God, we just started to say, what possibly would we want? Diesel, big, I wanted a snorkel because as a missionary kid, that was cool to have in your vehicle, a snorkel so you can go through the river. And Anne wanted a hammock. And literally, we didn't pray about it because we were just starting to talk. The next day, in the afternoon, I went online, and friends of ours were coming back to the States and had a vehicle for sale, and it had everything we wanted and more. It even had the hammock. It has hammock hooks that go from one corner to the other. It has a fan and a camping chair. You know, extra, because God loves us so much, he gives us extra sometimes. And so we got a vehicle. Wow, Lord, you know, amazing. And then Fritzlin came home, and we, you know, and right before we got it, he came home the 1st of October after years and years of paperwork, but his visa took longer. So finally, in the middle of April, we got his visa, which was, we were getting kind of down to the wire because we had a big meeting to go to in Florida in the first week of May. So we came out May 3, we had this meeting, and when the Haitian missionaries were all together, our area director said, we get to celebrate because the last church that went down for our group in the earthquake has been rebuilt, and it's been 8 years. And most of the churches that were damaged in the big hurricane 2 years ago are done. And they had asked that I stay an extra half a day for some leadership training, and I'm like, I'll pray about it. Because the team they wanted me to lead is construction guys. And while we worked on the house for a year and I can wield some tools, I wasn't sure I wanted to lead a development team. But he says, because we're no longer reacting to these crises, our new push is agriculture. And we had no clue. And as an agricultural ministry for 20 years, that's exciting. So we now have a team of 5 of us, another couple living in Haiti, who will be helping support Haitians to help their families and their church and their communities, which is one of the reasons they had bought this land up here. One, to make a profit, and two, to bless all Haitian farmers, which is still 70 to 80% of the country is agriculture. So we have a new group, Agricultural Ministry Partnership, to work on the agriculture, but also to partner it with different ministries to try to help every family get a little better and then to support the ministries. And Corey's going to talk more about this, but we do have new prayer cards. And if you didn't get the update and the big news that Fritzlin got his citizenship paperwork yesterday, if you want to be, yes. Which means after we survive the next 2 weeks of getting our college kids off, we'll be going back to Haiti probably mid-September. But we're looking for prayer partners because when you have new opportunities and bigger bigger chances to impact not only Haiti, but Africa and other countries, we know that the devil is just going to ramp it up. So we're looking for more prayer partners. And if you didn't get that and you want once or twice a month, you can sign up with your contact information, and we would gladly add you to those updates and praises as they come. Do I need to turn this off? On the stand.
So yeah, it's been a, like Chris was saying, kind of a challenging year. So about the, you know, the house build, we built the new land there is just pasture and gardens. So building this house on a mountain, talk about mountains, this is, you know, three hours from the nearest hardware store. And fortunately, the neighbor's a builder, because I've never built a house and didn't know what to do. So I'd keep asking questions, but God, you know, kept supplying the workers and the supplies. And when I didn't know what to do, I'd ask questions. And, you know, things don't always go as yes planned, but they worked out. And we prayed for safety and are really thankful no one was seriously injured, because it's a lot of manual work. All these rocks were carried up on people's heads from the property, building, you know, the rock walls so it would resist hurricanes and termites and, you know, whatever else there. Because so yeah, this whole top of the mountain used to be coffee plantations back in the colonial days. So anyway, yeah, that's kind of one part too. When it came to the roof, it's like, how are we going to get a roof on? But fortunately, the guy who was in charge of the walls also does it. So I can hire someone and do the roof. Yeah, great. We had it was almost all Haitian labor, and then this is a Canadian team that really blessed us with the cabinets and the kitchen. So just before we left Haiti, we moved all our, well, part of our stuff. That's still in process. So now it's basically a new mission station. This is the house we'll be living in. You can see it up at top of the mountain there. It's on the white thing on the one side, and then the middle is the coffee plantation ruins. And then in 1804, when they got their independence, the Haitians built these forts all through Haiti, and this is the second biggest fort. So this new property is right next to these old ruins, and probably be quite a tourist attraction once the roads get better. But right now, the roads are really a challenge to get up. So it's, you know, it's pretty really isolated area. And there's about 3,000 people, we've been told, down in that, just down below there. So there are a lot of people, but you can't even drive a motorbike to this village. And they grow a lot of corn, beans. That's just what, you know, everybody just does the gardening. They haven't had the schools. There weren't many churches. There are a few little churches now, and they're growing. You can see how steep the hills are. So they get big rains up there, and the erosion is just terrible. There's still a lot of voodoo, but see, the churches are growing. This is a view from the new property where they're clearing the fields. You see, there's getting to be a lot of rocks. And you think about, you know, stewarding God's creation. So, you know, as Christians, we want to have something for our kids to be able to farm too, or for everybody. But being a good example of what we can do to avoid, this is actually a bean field. There's a few little bean plants in between the rocks. This is closer to the village, one of the really bad fields, but that's kind of how it can look after too many years of gardening. It's all just pick and shovel and hand tools. So we've started a lot of little fruit trees and trying a lot of things to see what'll grow, that, especially what would be perennial crops, that they'll be able to, you know, improve the nutrition or new crops to sell. Planted a lot at the new neighbor's garden or gardens. So there's a few of the vegetables. I haven't done them much yet, but we can grow tomatoes year-round, so that'll be a good, you know, good crop, because most of Haiti you can't grow them all year, so off-season things. And then they have a few pictures of what we're going in North Haiti, where we were the last 10 years, and some of the, you know, these are still going well. And we can also bring them to we're looking for a new property for a demonstration farm that'll be close to the sea down at the base of the mountain. So these are peach palm, and they're kind of like a little potato. It tastes like squash and sweet potato. So they're starchy and pretty filling. You see some oil on the spoon. They have like a red oil that's high in vitamin A. So it's a complete food, just kind of amazing plants. So there's a lot of things that, this is a complete new introduction to Haiti, and they're really doing well. So quite a few different crops that, you know, we didn't have in Haiti that can be used more widely. In this kind of example, the peach palms, after like 3 years, they're already huge, and a few of them are starting to produce. And then they can make as much food as corn per acre, and they get grazing on the, well, you garden it for the first 2 years. This is the third year, you let it go to pasture. So that's a good example of what can be done. These are popular in Central and South America. The star fruit, you know, kids love those. Jackfruit is, you know, pretty tasty too. There's all different varieties. Some are a lot better than others. Sometimes you can get them in the store here now. They're study how to cut them up. Is there a challenge? They're gummy. New banana variety that did well. So a lot of different, you know, things that God's made, these great, really neat foods. And you know, in Haiti too, a lot of people don't know about them yet. So we still had the part of the move. We saw we could keep the work going with the employees that were at the mission. So these are, you know, two of the guys that work in the north with the nursery. So we're continuing to propagate the good plants and share them. And the kids' club is still going. You know, it's even a rainy day and they have a good turnout. The kids, every Sunday afternoon, all the neighborhood kids are invited to come to kids' club. So it's kind of like a day of Bible, vacation Bible school all year long. So even the witch doctors' kids come, they sing, you know, sing songs, learn Bible verses, hear the Bible stories, play games. So for a couple hours every Sunday afternoon. Jean-Pierre leads this and some of the other ministries in the adult literacy. And he's struggled with diabetes a lot this summer, so his health has really been giving him trouble. He's getting a little better now, but I'd like to ask for prayer for his health and complete recovery, because it's been a rough summer for him, and I find it kind of discouraging too that he's, you know, he's really helped lead a lot of these ministries in the north. These are the adult literacy students. You know, a few teachers that help, you know, help lead that, but you need some, you know, more helpers too. And just a few pictures from Laganao, the first place where we were. So these are gardens we had. This is making moringa leaf powder. So you dry the leaves and then, you know, grind it into this powder. So we hope to do that on a larger scale for more of Haiti too, with a new demonstration farm. And it doesn't grow so good up in the mountain, but down low it does really well. So, yeah, remember to sign up in the back if you like, if you aren't getting our updates, and would like the monthly email updates and the prayer requests. Yeah, thank you so much for the prayers and support, and the, you know, the Conseil books. We're continuing to print those and distribute them. It has a lot of good information in Haitian Creole. So yeah, thank you.